Blog Talk Radio.
And I am so happy to spend another episode of the Living by Design Show with you and share all of the knowledge and all of the information and all of my outstanding guests with you, our wonderful loyal listeners, so that we can make a difference in your life and you can be ready to hit the ground running to start your new goals and transform your life. So welcome, 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 everyone. We have a really great show on tap for you this evening. And I hope everyone is doing magnificent, because I certainly am doing magnificent. So I hope you have everything together as far as your goals. I'm not sure where you are in the process, but hopefully by now you know that it is a process. Whatever it is you're trying to accomplish, you can accomplish it. Now, I'm very excited about my guest today, because how many people have been through a situation in life, or you may still be going through a situation right now, and you can't figure out how to get out of it? You feel stuck. We all have been there. Some of you may still be there. My guest this evening has an amazing story. When I first picked up her book, I didn't know what to expect. The name of the book is Booty Call. It's the truth. And I had no idea what this book was about. Of course, with a name like Booty Call, I assumed it was a fictional story about what it sounds like, what the title says. But I was absolutely shocked from the first page. I was hooked. It is her life story, Miss Shaw Jackson. And I am so happy that she agreed to come on the show and talk about her story, share her story, be open and vulnerable, and talk to my listeners about everything that she went through, because I can't wait for you to hear some of the things that are in this book. You absolutely have to buy this book. I love to read, but I tell you, I'm pretty much a speed reader, but this book has about 350 pages. I got through it in a day. As a matter of fact, it was actually about an hour. It's that good. It's an amazing book. You will not believe some of the things that occurred. So I'm going to go ahead and bring Shaw on the line, because I'm really, really excited to get this conversation started. Hello, Miss Shaw Jackson. How are you today?
I'm doing fine. I'm doing well and can't complain, Miss Hill. How are you doing?
I am blessed, absolutely blessed and highly favored, and I know you are too.
Yes, I am, every day.
Yes, 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 yes. Well, you heard me talking about this amazing book, because I've already read it twice, and the first time I read it, I just went through the whole thing with my jaw dropped, because it's just a story that you would not think. It sounds like a movie. It sounds like a story that should be made into a movie.
Well, praise the Lord, hopefully one day it will be made into a movie.
Well, it should be, because I've seen movies that didn't have nearly that much drama in it, but I absolutely cannot believe that it was your life, and I'm so happy that you have agreed to come on and talk about this, because it's very difficult for people to come on and share their issues and their problems and the things that they went through, because, you know, they like to kind of hide it and keep it quiet and sweep it under the rug. But it happened. can really bless someone else with this story. So many people.
Amen. And that's what my goal and mission is in life right now. I believe
I
that's
it.
God spared my life.
Absolutely. Now, I know there's just so much to this story, and we're not going to have enough time in 30 minutes to even get to it all, but I'm going to ask everyone to please go buy this book. Now, Shaw, I want you to just start off by telling the listeners where can they purchase this wonderful book.
Okay, well, first off, if they would like a signed copy, they can contact me by phone by dialing 270-305-9254, and I will mail them out a signed copy. Or they can go to ZulonPress.com, which is spelled X-U-L-O-N, or they can go to Amazon.com and purchase the book there.
So Zulon, X-U-L-O-N-Press.com.
Yes, ma'am.
Or Amazon.com, and if you go to Amazon, put in her name, which is Shaw. It's spelled S-H-A, and then Jackson, and the book will come up. And then also, if you want a signed copy, please dial 270-305-9254, and she will sign and autograph a copy and mail it to you. Now, let's talk about this amazing, amazing story. Shaw, you just really get raw and dirty down deep into this book about your life and everything that you went through. When you was going through that whole experience as a child, what was you thinking and when it all started?
Well, as a child, when it started with the molestation, of course, you know, that was just horrific for me. But as a child, I was told, don't tell. So I tried to deal with it as best that I knew how. And I was raised in the church, so I just kept it to myself and tried to live a normal life, not realizing that the molestation was just the beginning of my spiritual demise. So I married at an early age, which was 17, and my first child was born at 18, and then the marriage began to sour, and so that's when I turned my back on the church and just went out into the world and did what most people do, drink and party and club, and just dealt with it that way, which
mm-hmm.
ultimately led me to the streets.
Now, I want to spend a little bit more time on how you got off track, because I have received so many emails from so many people who get off track. They've been raised in church, just like you. They've been raised to know and understand the right path and the right way to go. But they get off track. Something happens. In your case, you were molested. And, you were just molested, not just once, but, you know, so many different occasions when, you know, people were just really trying to, you know, get you in a bad spot. And, you know, because you were, you know, very developed for your age. You were, you know, very physically developed for your age. And so since that happened, it just, how did that affect your emotional health, your mindset? I mean, how did that make you feel about yourself, self-esteem-wise and self-worth-wise?
It made me question myself a lot, because I consider myself to be a good person, but when these things would happen, I would ask myself, what is wrong with me?
Mm-hmm.
Why is this happening to me? And I had no one to talk to about it. So, like I said, I just tried to deal with it. So, of course, I suppressed a lot of my feelings. And because I was a chubby little girl, always being picked on, it's like I would just be attacked from every angle. But I tried so hard to just live a normal life. And I think by evading the issue just made matters worse. So I had my good days, and I had many bad days along the way. And I believe what happened was it just continued to mount up and mount up and mount up and mount up until one day I just lost it.
You broke. Right. You just had a break. Because many of us have breakdowns before we have breakthroughs, which, you know, we'll talk about your breakthrough in a minute. But I want to make sure this is such a critically important topic, molestation, because we hear so many stories about child molesting and even family members molesting their own biological children and you know, parents and family members and trusted individuals. So in your case, and you don't have to give names, Shaw, but in your case, were these people you knew? Were they from the neighborhood, the community, school? Who were the people?
Some I knew and some were in neighborhood.
Okay.
People in
okay.
the neighborhood. Mm-hmm.
So people that you ordinarily would trust.
Right.
Yes, and see, this is very important to know because there are so many parents out there who just really don't have a good handle on watching their children and being aware of the signs that their child is being molested or to even know what to look for, because I know we're in a difficult economy and everyone has to work. Sometimes in some cases parents have two or three jobs. So can you give us a few signs of, you know, what to look for if, you know, because you were very, how old were you when this first started?
Started around the age of 10.
And see, that's very young.
Right.
So at 10 years old, if your child is being molested, some of the things that you need to pay attention to, well, Shaw, I'll let you talk about some of the things that you, if you were a parent now, knowing what you went through, what would you look for in your child that would cause a red flag to go off in your head?
Well, I would say, first of all, I think the best thing to do is to have a very good open relationship with your child and unprecedented communication, because for me, I think that I was very good at covering up because, like I said, I tried so hard just to live a normal life. But like what I did with my daughter, I just always communicated with her. And I know we say we want our children to remain innocent, but I believe once your child starts to go to school, their innocence is lost because they're coming in contact with so many different people. And you don't know what they're picking up, what they're hearing, what they're being introduced to, what they're being propositioned to do in the midst of all these new people that they're meeting. You know what I mean? When they're at home with just the family, you can kind of protect them. But once they start leaving that house, going to kindergarten, preschool, daycare,
right.
It's like they're exposed.
That's
they're
right.
exposed to the elements of the earth. And so I think the communication is the key. Let them know that it's okay. I ask my grandchildren periodically, has anyone told you this, not to tell grandmommy or mommy anything? Has anyone done anything to you? And they look me in the eye, they say no. I reassure them that it's okay, you know, if anything has happened. Because for me, I also felt that whenever I did tell someone what was going on, instead of saying, really, it was always like, well, what did you do? So I always felt like, even though I was being victimized, if I told, I was the victim. Or I was being questioned like it was my fault. And this was, you know, even with other issues other than the molestation, because I didn't tell anyone about that. So I think we have to be careful even how we treat our children when they come to us and they tell us things. There's a lot of things that my children and grandchildren say that I may not even make a comment. I may want to, but I don't. Just so that they know they can come and tell me anything, and then I take it to the Lord in prayer. Or I'll try to find another way to speak to them about it without causing them to be afraid to come to me to talk to me about anything like that in the future. Other signs I believe to look for is like if they're withdrawn, very, very quiet, one-word answers when you ask them something, if it's one-word answers, if they were around a certain person with no problem and now all of a sudden they're kind of withdrawing, older people that maybe want, just have an over-interest in your child, to me that's a red flag.
That's a good one.
Yes, that's a red flag.
And children are very honest. Everyone who has dealt with children knows that children are very honest. They tell the truth. They don't know how to lie. They learn how to lie from their environment. And, you know, when they're very young, 3, 4 years old, they don't understand. All they know is to just tell it like it is.
Right.
I mean, whether you ask them something that hurts your feelings or, you know, is this ugly? Yes, that's ugly, Mommy. You know, they just say what's on their little mind. So, and it's a good thing because this is the time when they're 3 and 4 years old when we should be having these conversations with them about their private areas. And if someone touches your private area, you come and tell Mommy or you come and tell Daddy. And if Daddy's the one doing it, you come and tell Mommy. If Mommy's the one doing it, you go and tell Grandma.
That's right.
You know,
and
don't think it's too soon.
Right. And so, like, what I've done, my daughter and myself have done with the grandchildren, at 2, we start teaching them about their parts, the proper name for it.
Good.
Not these names that we make up. We teach them the proper name. We teach them that nobody is to see that and touch that. You know, so they've learned that at an early age. And I believe that's critical. That's crucial.
It is very
crucial.
But the
one awesome thing about today in the 21st century is so talked about.
Right.
You know, we talk about it a whole lot now, whereas back then we didn't. So.
Right.
And
there is Child Protective Services. And you know, there are resources and things that can be done now. So, you know, that's why I want to make sure that everyone listening understands that, you know, if you are the victim or if you know someone who is a victim, their child is a victim, there are resources and organizations that will help you get that child out of harm's way and out of the home. So, you know, please, if you know, we've got to take care of our children and save our children because it's easier to build strong, healthy children than it is to repair broken adults. And that's what we're trying to do here is to build strong children and to try to prevent this from happening.
Right. I ministered to a lady the other day out of Texas. She read the book, and I always put my card in the book, and she called me. And she was calling me yet telling herself, don't call me at the same time. This lady was in her 40s, but she was raped a lot of times and molested by men that her mother had would sell drugs after hours, I mean alcohol, in her home, so she had to serve the men, and then the men would violate her at the age of 12, so she became an alcoholic. Now, she was saved and in the church, but she felt too ashamed to tell anyone, and she read the book and called me and told me, and I spoke with that lady for over 3 hours on the phone until she got a breakthrough, and then she said, okay, now I'm going to go talk to my husband because she was married. She had a problem coming together with her husband. She would throw up just like I said I did in the book, and she couldn't understand why. But she was afraid to talk about what had happened to her as a child, and she's in her 40s. But age of 12 to 40-something, this thing was continuing to plague her until it was affecting her relationship with her husband.
Wow. And that's very powerful. And I want to make sure I want to get a little bit part in about your drug use because I know there are a ton of people out there who are hooked on drugs. And you were hooked on some very, very powerful drugs, and you just walked away. And I really want you to try to tell a little bit about that, how you got hooked onto the drugs, what some of the drugs were. And did you actually get help and go through any 12-step programs, or did you just leave it?
Well, when we broke up, we separated, we never divorced.
Mm-hmm.
I just said, forget it, you know. I just kind of walked away from the church, started clubbing and partying, which is something that I never did. I started drinking. I think I had this mindset. I've tried to be the good girl. I've tried to do the good thing. The right thing all my life, and it to me it just seemed like it didn't work for me. So I just decided to go and do what the world was doing. And once I started going to the club, I was introduced to different people. So I went from drinking to smoking cigarettes to smoking weed, PCP, trying hallucinogen drugs like purple microdots, black mollies, I tried just about everything except for I did do heroin laced in a joint, but I never shot up. I was afraid of the needle for some reason. And what started
out... Did you ever do crack?
Well, we called it freebasing. I snorted cocaine, and we freebased it, which was pure cocaine. We took pure cocaine, which was cut, and you cook it and bring it back to a pure form, and you put it on a pipe and smoke it. Now, crack is manufactured a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So I kind of out before the right when the crack hit the streets. Like when I got out. But
it's very
recreational using to just being fully addicted. Once I started freebasing with that pipe, it was no return. It was just no return for me. I liked it. I liked the process. I wanted to be a nurse, so I think cooking it, I was more intrigued with that. But once I started smoking, it was like my body just had to have it. So I went from a functioning addict, holding a job, going to school, to just being out of control, walking the street day and night, getting my drugs by any means necessary. And what I mean by that was I would basically sell my body. I was never a mean person, so I, you know, didn't hurt anybody, but I would hurt myself. And I felt that it was okay. People, you know, even like when the police arrested me one time, I'm like, I am just doing this to myself. I'm only hurting myself. I'm not bothering anybody else. Leave me alone. But that's that crazy, insane thinking. And so when I was arrested, in order to get out.
Yeah, you were arrested because you were prostituting.
I was caught buying cocaine in a house.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
Uh-huh.
But
and
but
I bought
you,
it.
But you did prostitute yourself to get the drugs?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
That was like the second time I was arrested.
Mm-hmm.
But the first time I was arrested, I had scored some cocaine, and I went in the house. I had on my nursing uniform. I was supposed to be going to school. And I said, well, I'll just get me a hit right quick before I go. And they raided the place and took me to jail. So because it was my first offense, they let me out with the pretense that I would attend a drug program. So I went there for just a little while, and then I was released from there, and then continued to do drugs. And so then I went to another program that my brother-in-law introduced me to, and I didn't follow the rules. All I did was went to my high school reunion instead of just going to church and coming home, and so they kicked me out. Now, the 12-step program that they introduced me to, it really did help me. But, like, one night when I found myself going back to drugs, I tried to work the steps, and it didn't work. And so I went right back and started using again. And each time I would go back, it would get worse and worse. Now, I prayed. I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. And one of my prayers that I prayed the most was, God, deliver me, set me free, or let me die, because I can't stand living like this, and I can't stop myself. That was my continuous prayer. And in 1986, I came to Kentucky to visit with my husband for a week, went back home. 1987, I took a flight to Kentucky to visit. This time I brought my son, which I had with him, and my daughter, which I had conceived in a one-night stand with somebody on the street that I met for some money. And I came to visit for 2 weeks. And God delivered me. When I landed in Nashville, Tennessee, he delivered me and set me free. My husband asked me to stay, and it's been over 25 years. I've been delivered and free ever since. Never not one day having any temptation to go back. And it's amazing to me how I could not stop for 10 years and took a flight from California to Nashville and have not had an urge, a craving, temptation or nothing to go back in over 25 years. So I give all
and
my...
And I want everyone listening to understand how critical, and I know the addicts who are listening know the criticalness of and the almost impossibility of what Shaw is explaining here because, and I've never been on drugs, but I know a lot of people who have been on drugs, and it is one of the most difficult things to walk away from. And to be able to not just walk away from it, but to walk away from it, never look back, never have a desire, change your life, and just absolutely make a total 180 turnaround and the drug desire is totally gone. That is miraculous. That is miraculous, and that's why I wanted you to come on and tell your story. And if you had to say what was the most critical resource for you to get out of that, to make that change, to make that 180 change, what would you say was the most critical resource or critical resources that helped you to have that aha moment, I've got to stop doing this?
Well, my aha moment was, because I told you that I was a good person and I just was doing me is what I felt, was
mm-hmm.
when I sent someone to get some drugs for me and she told me that something happened to the money and she didn't get it. And I wanted to kill her. And I told her, I said, if you don't get the drugs, I'm going to kill you. And I was so angry and so frustrated by this point in my life
mm-hmm.
until when she finally did go get it and give it to me, and I just left and went somewhere. Actually, I went and sat on the steps of my mother's back porch. It was early in the wee hours of the morning. It was dark, and I sat there, and I smoked, and I cried, and I said, God, who am I? What is wrong with me that I want to kill somebody over drugs? And I just really began to cry out all the more to God because I knew I never wanted to hurt anybody, but I knew that I was sick. I was just that sick. I had to be sick if I wanted to kill another individual.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just continued to pray, but at the same time continued to use drugs. Now, when
mm-hmm.
God delivered me and brought me here and set me free, it was still hard. It was rough because even though I was delivered from drugs and a few months later from cigarettes, and by November, because I came here in June, by November I was totally delivered from cigarettes, but the drugs was immediate. The alcohol went away a few months later, and then by November it was the cigarettes. I still had soul issues that I had to deal with.
Right.
You know, and as they came up, God taught me how to deal with them. So the three resources that I clung to was prayer, reading my word, and obeying what I read.
Right.
I had been in church all my life. I knew the word. I did the Easter plays. I quoted the scriptures. I did the Bible drills. I knew the word, but I did not know how to effectively take the word in whatever situation or trial that I was in and apply it to my life to make a difference. And so I learned how to apply the word of God to my life and make a difference. So those were the key things, prayer, the word, and obeying what I was reading. And it's evident that it made a difference in my life.
Absolutely. And that's why I wanted you to state that, because I know a lot of people make excuses. They justify, well, you know, it's difficult. You're absolutely right, it is difficult. But this is a perfect example of commitment. When you are committed to a goal, you will do whatever it takes, and that's what you did. When you're interested in a goal, you do what's convenient. But you were committed, and you did whatever it took. And that whatever it took was just what you just explained, and I am so proud of you. And we're coming up on our last 90 seconds in the show, and I knew this was going to be a quick interview. And just really quickly, Shaw, can you give our listeners just one small piece of advice for those who are in a similar situation, how they can get out and overcome?
I would advise you to pray. If you don't know how to pray, find someone that knows how to pray. Find a church. Pray to God. If you're already in church, and you've been in church and going to church and you just can't seem to get a breakthrough, continue to pray. Find someone that can help you get deliverance, because that's what Christ is all about. No one, if you read your Bible, no one has truly ever come to Christ and stayed the same. No one. If you touch
awesome.
The hem of his garment, like the Bible says, your life will be changed. If you have to, call me. If you can't find anyone else, because I know a lot of people are ashamed to tell their story.
Absolutely. And if you can't get in touch with Shaw, then get in touch with me, because she is available for speaking engagements. She's an amazing speaker. I've heard her speak. So, Shaw, thank you so much. We're coming up on our last 10 seconds of the show, and I want to thank you so much for sharing your story. You have blessed so many lives, and you don't even realize it. So we thank you. We'll probably bring you back, maybe have people call in and ask you questions, and we thank you so much. And we're going to sign off for now, and we will see you same time next week here on the Living by Design Show. Good night, everyone.
Thank you.